From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on Christ's instructions to his disciples on prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns is now dealing with the second division of the petitions in the prayer. On today's program, he begins to address the words, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." To begin, we must understand what is meant by temptation. The word is used in the Bible in a number of ways. Dr. Cairns will take time to explain what temptation does not mean in the context of the Lord's Prayer. Then he'll go on to show the term's meaning and the admonitions which are attached to it. Dr. Cairns will commence this message in a few moments. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, written by the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Magnitude of Grace. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Our weakness should be prized as making room for divine strength. We might never have known the power of grace if we had not felt the weakness of nature. Blessed be the Lord for the thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan when they drive us to the strength of God. This is a precious word from our Lord's own lip. It has made the writer laugh for joy. God's grace enough for me? I should think it is. Is not the sky enough for the bird and the ocean enough for the fish? The all-sufficient is sufficient for my largest want. He who is sufficient for earth and heaven is certainly able to meet the case of one poor worm like me. Let us then fall back upon our God and His grace. If He does not remove our grief, He will enable us to bear it. His strength shall be poured into us till the worm shall thresh the mountains, and a nothing shall be victor over all the high and mighty ones. It is better for us to have God's strength than our own. For if we were 1,000 times as strong as we are, it would amount to nothing in the face of the enemy. And if we could be weaker than we are, which is scarcely possible, yet we could do all things through Christ.
Oh, Jesus, I have brought
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
We come this morning to the 13th verse of this 6th chapter of Matthew, where the Savior teaches us to pray, and lead us not into temptation. And I'm not going any further. We will consider the delivering from evil at a different time in due course. And lead us not into temptation. I'll say the same about this as I said of the previous petition, forgive us our debts. that it sounds very simple. It sounds exceedingly straightforward. It comes rolling off the end of the tongue. There doesn't seem to be any difficulty with it at all. But the reality is that the more you think of it, the more you feel its difficulty, and the more you recognize that there are some very real problems that we have got to face as we try to understand this. There's nothing more natural than to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation." But when you've said all that, we have to come back to the question, what do these words really mean? And that's when you run into difficulty. From the very earliest times in church history, great preachers and great commentators have felt the difficulty of getting through to the meaning of these words. Lead us not into temptation. Can we deduce from that that God may lead His people into temptation? On the other hand, can we ever expect in this world, while we're in this body, to be free from all temptation? Is this a realistic prayer as it appears in its most native force and meaning when we read the words? And then, how can we reconcile this petition, "Lead us not into temptation," with other texts of Scripture that pronounce temptation to be a good thing, not something to be avoided? As soon as you look at the text and begin to consider it, you realize there are real difficulties in understanding it. And what causes the difficulty is the confusion surrounding our word temptation. Consider this. James tells us that God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth He any man. Yet Genesis 22 verse 1 records that God tempted Abraham. Again, the Lord Jesus teaches us here in this text to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Yet, a little earlier in this gospel, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, we read that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Again, while the Savior tells us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," James, his brother, says we should rejoice when we're tempted, and that he who endures temptation is blessed. Again, you'll see that the word is a word that involves a great deal of difficulty. The difficulty lies in the many-sidedness of the meaning of the Greek term that is translated temptation. And you'll find that both the Greek and the English have this scope in their meaning. Temptation is seduction to evil. When Satan tempted Eve, he was seducing her to commit sin. He was enticing her to rebel against God. When Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, he was seeking to seduce him from his perfect holiness and obedience into disobedience against God. So temptation is a seduction to evil. Temptation may also mean a deliberate attempt to lead someone to ruin. When the scribes and Pharisees questioned the Lord Jesus Christ, tempting him, they were seeking to trip him up in his words. They were seeking to cause him hurt and injury. They were seeking to lead him to ruin. And then, of course, temptation may mean trial. One of the meanings of the English word trial is an investigation by experience. That's a very good definition of trial when we think of it as it appears in Scripture. It means a test. And the test is often for the purpose of purifying. It is also for the purpose of proving or of finding out what is in a person. And it's in that sense that God tempted, tried, or tested Abraham. It's in that sense that Peter says, the trial of your faith. That is the investigation of your faith by the experience of affliction and persecution. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Lord told the Israelites back in Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And then he gives his purpose. To humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. So, here then are the various meanings of the word temptation. And what's confusing is not just that a word has different shades of meaning, but what's particularly difficult with this word is that in almost every case, there is something of every shade of meaning attaching to the word. For instance, when you read of temptation in the sense of an enticement to sin, now that's always with a vicious purpose. That's satanic in origin. And yet every such temptation to sin still does provide a test of a man. And it does provide a trial. It proves where he is at that time with God. And again, when the word is used in the sense of a test or a trial, it may be for very good purposes. But nonetheless, the possibility of sinful failure is always present. So the idea of probation, the idea of the possibility of falling into sin, even when it's God presenting us with a test, is always present. And this is what causes the difficulty in understanding a text like this. All this sounds confusing. And yet, it is the meaning of temptation, the word itself, that will help us to grasp the meaning of the text. Keep in mind what I've said, and now try to understand. What does it mean, lead us not into temptation? Let me start off by telling you, obviously, what it doesn't mean. It's good that we understand what it doesn't mean so that you don't set yourself up to fall into the temptation of the devil. So that you don't pray something that is totally outside the will of God and then become frustrated when it's not answered. This does not mean do not entice us to sin. For the very simple reason that would be a blasphemy, because God cannot and will not induce or entice anyone to sin. Every inducement of God is to holiness. Every word of God is pure. There is absolutely no taint of wickedness in it. And everything that God does for His people is to make them a holier people, to separate them unto Him. So it would be a gratuitous insult to God to pray, Lord, do not entice me to sin. It's the first thing it doesn't mean. Second thing it does not mean is, it does not mean never allow us to be tried or tested. Because we have scripture after scripture that tells us that this testing is indeed the will of God. Peter writes that it is the will of God after you have suffered a while to make you perfect. The testing is the will of God. We have already read Peter's words that the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So it is not the Savior's intention that we should start praying, Lord, never let us be put in a situation that will investigate the reality of our spiritual experience, that will try the reality and the depth of our devotion to God. That is not what the text means. The third thing it does not mean is never allow us to be tempted to sin. While we're in this body and while we're in this world, temptation is part of the fabric of human experience. You can no more envisage living in this world, in this body, without temptation than you can envisage breathing without air. It's an impossibility. It's a contradiction in terms. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The Apostle John, and we'll look at this in due course, speaks of the sources from which temptation will hit us, the world and the flesh and the devil. And while we're in this body and in this world, it is impossible to escape temptation to sin. If Jesus were telling us to pray, Lord, never allow us to be tempted to sin, it would be tantamount to praying, Lord, take us out of the world. But He Himself has stated in so many words, in John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, that is, the evil that is in the world. So these are things that it doesn't mean. When you've wiped out what it doesn't mean, that will leave you to discover then what it does mean. Lead us not into temptation means clearly, providentially, lead us so as to make us holy and watchful. Let us not be taken unawares by temptation. Keep us humble. Keep us alert. And do not, and this is a very important part of Christ's meaning in the context. Notice this verse starts with the word and. It's linking it directly with what goes before. Forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. Do not allow the fact that we receive forgiveness for our sins from God make us presume upon the mercy of God. Do not allow us to be careless. Do not allow us to flirt with sin just because God forgives us when we sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.